Those of you who are older, do you ever look back on your life and ask, what difference have I made? What influence have I had for good, for God, for the gospel? Those who are younger, as you look forward to the life ahead of you, do you ever ask yourself, what difference will my life make? Or is my life making? What will be the legacy I will leave behind? You know, our lives are not just for having fun. It's good to have fun. But there's more to life, isn't there? God has made us with a purpose. He has a purpose for our lives to be useful, to make a difference. I wonder, did you notice in those verses that Patty read for us and we all read together, something that Jesus says that really is very exciting and wonderful about you and me and our ordinary lives towards the end of the reading? He says some things about how important, how influential your ordinary everyday life, my ordinary everyday life can be, the difference our lives can make. No matter how old we are, it's never too late to make a difference. Jesus was talking to these 12 very ordinary men. There was nothing exceptional or gifted about them. Those 12 disciples, they were from a small country town. They had no more than a basic education. They did ordinary jobs. Some were fishermen. Matthew was one of those hated tax collectors. Another one of the two Simons had terrorist connections, believe it or not. But it was to those guys that Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Your ordinary life, he is saying, is going to be profoundly influential. The person you are, the things you say, the way you live out your ordinary life is going to make a real difference in your community, among the people you meet and rub shoulders with today and tomorrow. And to these 12 men, he was saying your influence is going to extend to the whole world. And if he said it to them, he says it to you and me, and to every ordinary Christian here in church this morning. Do you see how wonderful this is? You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, even you and me. Almighty God has included us in his plan to build his kingdom. Indeed, we are his plan to build his kingdom. Through our ordinary lives. Our ordinary lives are meant to make a difference. Think about what you're doing, will be doing tomorrow morning. Well, Tuesday morning. It's a bank holiday tomorrow. As you perhaps go out to your work, or you're at home, or you younger folk, it's not long now, just a few days, and you've gone back to school, or later on to college. What are you going to be doing in an ordinary day? Who are you going to be with? Because you belong to Jesus Christ, because the power of his Holy Spirit is in your life, you can have a real powerful influence. Indeed, that's God's purpose for all of our lives. Let's look a bit closer. I've got 3 points, and they're fairly obvious. First, we are the salt of the earth. Second, we are the light of the world. And third, we must let our light shine and not lose our saltiness. First, we are the salt of the earth. What did Jesus mean? What is salt? What is it used for? What do we use it for? I wonder, do you watch any of those cooking programs? I love MasterChef. And Celebrity MasterChef started this week. And one of the things that the judges will say when they're looking, tasting the food, they'll say, well, this was cooked well, but it wasn't seasoned enough. Or it was well seasoned, that was good. Well, what is that seasoning? It's mainly salt, I think. Salt and pepper and other things like that. But that's what salt's for. Or how we see it, at least mostly, we use it as a flavor enhancer. It makes our food tastier. In the ancient world, they used salt for that, but they used it for another, actually more important purpose. They used it as a preservative. If you take a piece of meat and you don't have a fridge, what do you do to keep it from going off? Well, I think the first thing you do is you don't butcher it until you're going to be using it, so that it doesn't have time. But sometimes you need to keep meat. And in a warm climate, well, it's very quickly going to go rotten. It'll give you food poisoning. But what they discovered is if you rub salt into it, the salt will slow down the process of the meat going bad, and the salt will help it to keep it longer. What Jesus is saying is that this world is like a piece of meat in the sun. It's always tending to go off and to go bad. Despite all the advances in so many fields, in science and technology and medicine, in the things that really matter in this world in which we live, in the things that count for human happiness, the world we live in is always tending to go bad. Because you see, the world is full of people, and the people in the world, you know, all of us are sinners. And so the world is full of our selfishness and our greed, and that leads to all the lying and the cruelty and the bullying and the fighting and the hatred. I wonder if you noticed. I've noticed even in recent years, there's so much more, I don't know, nastiness in the world. Seems to me to be. We see it on social media very much, in the tabloid papers, in politics. So much more viciousness, nastiness, divisiveness. People so quickly find fault, fall out, criticize loudly, little respect for others. We can even find it in the church. And that's only one aspect of the world going off, becoming more sinful. But we are not to be like that. As Christians, well, we are sinners, but God is changing us as we trust in Him, isn't He? What are we to be like? Well, Jesus has been telling us in the previous verses, and Paddy read those for us earlier, what we call the Beatitudes, 8 qualities that Jesus says should characterize us as Christians. I can't go into them in detail now, but the first of them sets the tone for the rest. Blessed, Jesus says, that is happy, are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. At the heart of what it means to be a Christian is humility. We recognize that we are spiritually poor, we are weak sinners, and therefore the other Beatitudes, we mourn for our sin, we hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be forgiven, to be right with God, to be better people. And therefore we are patient with other sinners, we are merciful, we are slow to take offense, we are keen to make peace and resolve conflict, we are humble people. That's what God wants us to be. More than humble people, we are blessed people. happy people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Surely we are joyful people, buoyed up by the joy of the gospel, the security of God's love and acceptance, knowing we are forgiven and accepted, knowing God is our loving Father who satisfies our souls and will satisfy our longings and will bring us to glory, and in the meantime is changing us to make us more and more like Jesus himself. What's not to be joyful about in that? And joyful too in these verses that as we live out our faith, as we live out this life of humility and joy, our lives will make a difference. We will be like salt. Simply by being who we are and not hiding who we are, being humble, sincere people who take sin seriously and who are growing more like Jesus, we can and we do already, surely, influence those around us, stopping the world around us going so bad. Just by being there in our families, in our places of work, relaxing with our friends, we influence others. People's attitudes are challenged as they see the different, we take a different attitude to things that are wrong and sinful. As they see we respond differently to difficulties and troubles, so people see their own need and sin more clearly. And as they're convicted by their sin, some, of course, will respond as they did against Jesus by mocking and attacking us, but others will be emboldened to do the right thing. I wonder, have you seen that work in your own life? Has it been someone in your life who has had that kind of effect on you? Helping you to do the right thing. Maybe in work or in your family when you're tempted to do wrong. Well, Jesus wants all of us to do that for other people. Think about the influence you do have. And we will be like salt also positively in this other way of bringing out the flavor in life. Jesus implies that this world is like a dish of food that's a bit bland and insipid and tasteless. That's what our world is like, Jesus is saying. Our world needs the good news of the gospel to bring life, to bring joy, to bring real tastiness to this world. Of course, the world says the opposite, doesn't it? The world says that caricaturizes Christianity as boring. We are killjoys, they tell us. And maybe there's a challenge there because we're not supposed to be. But rather, when we truly live the Christian gospel, far from spoiling life, surely it brings a spice to our living. It brings a challenge. It gives us a reason to get up in the morning, a purpose for our lives. It satisfies our souls. And surely also the gospel helps us to see our daily occupations in a different light and more positively. For our daily occupations in work, in school, in family life give us so many opportunities to serve God by loving and serving other people, making the world a better place. What will you be doing this time tomorrow or this time on Tuesday? Think about the positive contribution you can make in the work you do, in the lives of the people you will spend time with. As you and as I grow more and more like Jesus, as he helps us by his grace, so we can bring more joy into this world. You're the salt of the earth. Next, you're the light of the world. And in this too, of course, Jesus is saying something about the world, is he not? This world is dark. It's in darkness. It needs the light of Christ, the light of the gospel of Christ to shine. What does darkness conjure up in our minds? Well, darkness is ignorance. If it's a dark place, you don't know what's there. You can't see. When we don't know something, we will say we're in the dark about it. Darkness is also associated with things that are wrong and shameful. Dark deeds. Things you don't want people to see, you hide away in a dark corner. But the light enlightens. It shows us the truth. It shows us how things really are. The light reveals what in our shame we want to hide. Again, this works positively as well as negatively. Negatively, we cannot be forgiven our sin until we first face our sins and see our sin as sin and understand how harmful it is. Before you can clean the sticky mess at the back of the cupboard, you've got to move everything out of the way and let the light shine in to see it. You've got to expose, the police service and so on have to expose criminal activity in order to end it. Or if you're ill, you've got to shine, the hospital has to shine the x-rays to see the tumor so that it can be treated. Well, we have a tumor of a kind, haven't we? Of sin in our lives that needs to be treated. Let me challenge you, is there a dark secret that you don't want to bring out into the light of day? The shame of something you did or something shameful in the secrecy of your bank account or the secrecy of your laptop or the secrecy of your thoughts. The light of God's word shows us what is wrong and sinful and doing us harm and doing other people harm. The gospel shows us that our sin is deeper and more serious than we like to believe. But positively, the gospel also shows us how amazing is God's love for us. God knows the very worst about us. He can see right inside into those dark corners. And he sees the worst, but he still loves us. He doesn't love us any less. That's why he sent Jesus to save us. Are you still living in the darkness of your sin and shame? Still living in rebellion against God, the God who made you? Are you still not saved from your sin? You may naturally, and you will naturally, not want Jesus to shine his light, fearing God's condemnation. Jesus said that himself in John 3. But listen, he already can see it. He loves you anyway. Will you not come to him and let him wash away the sin and the guilt and make you clean? In another place, Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He is the one who shines the light to expose the sin and shame of our sin, but also to show us God's love for sinners. Not just by what he says, but by the person he is. But if he is the light of the world, how can he say, we are the light of the world? You see how amazing that is. What a privilege. What an astounding thing. How can this be true? Surely there's only one way. He must shine his light out of our lives. We can only be light as God changes us by the Holy Spirit's power and makes us like Jesus so we can shine his light and speak his truth and live out his truth. For God to do good to you and me, he must shine the light into our dark hearts. For us to do good for other people, we must also shine the light of his truth. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Thirdly, you don't lose your saltiness, don't hide your light. Technically, you see, sodium chloride salt, to use its chemical name, cannot actually lose its saltiness. But the salt people used in Jesus' day was impure rock salt. And it was a mixture of salt and maybe chalk or some other white powder. But salt is very soluble in water. sodium chloride. So as the rock salt got wet, the sodium chloride could be washed out, leaving a white powder that wasn't salt at all, but looked like it. So the salt could lose its saltiness. We are not to lose our saltiness. And that's the challenge. As we live out our lives in the world, we are to live out a Christ-like, salty lifestyle. With our salty Christian values, with our salty Christian talking and behaving, but we can do that confidently, knowing that the world needs us. The force of what Jesus says in Greek, you and you alone are the salt of the earth. There is no other hope for this world but the gospel of Christ. And we are not to be arrogant or disrespectful in any way, but we are to humbly, sensitively, courageously live out our salty witness. And salt isn't much use sitting in the salt cellar. The salt has to be rubbed in all over the meat in order to preserve it. So we too must be out there in the world making a difference wherever we find ourselves. And we are to let our light shine. What on earth is the point of a light hidden underneath a bowl, as Jesus says? How ridiculous it is for us to hide our light. The whole point of having a light is that it should shine and dispel the darkness. You and you alone are the light of the world. We have the truth that God has revealed, centered in Jesus, and God will argue with us. People will argue with us, and they may appear so superior in what they say that the teaching of the Bible and the values we affirm are outdated. People will even say that much of the moral teaching in the Bible is evil these days. But they're simply wrong, and we should not feel intimidated. We can look the world in the eye, for we have the truth. And actually deep in their hearts, people know it is the truth. And it's truth they really do need to hear. They really do need to hear. Not only to hear it, but to respond to it, because otherwise people are heading for disaster. They're heading for hell. So we must speak up and speak the truth into all the issues that people talk about. And especially we must take opportunities that God gives us to speak of the wonderful love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. We have good news to tell. Don't be afraid to tell it. One last thought as we finish. Jesus says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That may seem a bit odd, that they see our good deeds and glorify God. Jesus is not suggesting that we parade our good deeds in front of others. Indeed, we are poor in spirit. We know that if people see anything Christ-like about us, it's only because of the Holy Spirit's work in us. And so that's how it must be. How can people see our good deeds and yet give glory to God? It will only happen when we are honest and transparent and let people see our weaknesses and our struggles, so they know that the good things they see in us can only be through the grace of God. That's the challenge, that we so live with such humility and God awareness that people give glory to Him for what they see in our lives. This is all challenging, isn't it? Tomorrow, the next day, wherever we are, whoever we're with, let your light shine. Don't lose your saltiness. Go out into that world out there that desperately needs this wonderful life and truth that in His grace God has given to us. That truth that is a light in the darkness, a way of living and being that in their hearts people are longing for, though outwardly they may reject it. Let's live the life, and God will bless our witness. Amen.